We were at Trivia about a month or 6 weeks ago, and there was a song there, and this music came on. I thought, I don't know it, therefore it must be Canadian. But he went, yeah, it is, but I don't know what it is. And I said, well, go for April Wine then. And he went, oh my God, it's April Wine. It's totally...
What was your trivia team's name that night?
Two of the teams that seem to play every week against us, Ross. One is called Trevor's Mum Has Got It Going On, and the other one is called Quizzed in My Pants.
I'm only laughing at that because I've been drinking. Normally, I would go sour face and, oh, that's just juvenile. I am Ross. Joining is my co-host Ian, and together, going slightly back in time, not by that much, together we are drinking Nova Scotia Dry. Because we have these two, and they are anniversary ales that we happen to pick up on our adventures, just, you know, because... The beer cupboard gets full. That's the short story, is when we're out and about, no, I'm going to go in here, and I've talked about this a few times, drinking two beers a week, sometimes, you know, three, we've gone crazy and had four or five, it's still not enough. For the amount of beers that there are, we will never catch up, we will never seem to be doing this, so sometimes things fall through the holes, and we get some beers that are celebrating anniversaries, and it was a couple of years ago. So.
Yeah.
Anniversary beers from the past. And the lower alcohol percentage, the first one up, from Saltbox. Saltbox Brewery decided to have a commemorative ale. Both of these are, I think they're both pale ales. I think. We're just sort of guessing. They're ales. But the Saltbox commemorative ale for the Blue Nose, the 100 years of the Blue Nose, 1921 to 2021. And if you're playing the home game... then you'll learn that 2021 was, in fact, 3 years ago. However, unlike our other beer, this one is still on the Saltbox website. It's still listed in the store. But it does say, sold out. So you can read about it, but you can't buy it anymore. So these might be the last of the cans. It is sold out. There's a big long story about the Blue Nose. It's the Blue Nose legacy is on the can. And as you all know, the Blue Nose was the name of a snowmobile that jumped over the largest number of ski moguls in the 1989. Everyone knows the Blue Nose is the big schooner. It's the big famous schooner. Nova Scotia, blah, blah, blah. Lunenburg raced many, many years ago. And was quite so famous, in fact, that it's on our money. This ship is stamped on the Canadian dime.
Is it?
Still is.
Good grief. I never noticed.
What? Yes, you have.
I haven't taken my citizenship test yet. Hopefully that's not on it. But no, if it is now, then I'll probably get it right now okay. Knowing that.
Pop quiz. What's on the quarter? I want to ask you what's on the loonie, because you better know that one.
Ross... If they asked me this, I go to trivia most Thursdays. I don't know any of these. None of them. Oh, no, the loony has a loon on it.
Well, yeah. So
right. So that I do know. But the toonie, I have not the foggiest idea.
Oh, my goodness.
The 10 cent, until you told me, and just now, I wouldn't have known. The quarter, I should know, because I do laundry about three times a week.
Well,
and I have to go to a laundromat for my sins. And for some reason, they can't seem to update their little coin entry thingies to put. So you need to put 10 quarters in each time you do a load. I should know that, shouldn't I? What's on a quarter?
A moose.
I'll be damned.
The head of a moose. And on the nickel is a beaver. On the penny was a maple leaf or a set of maple leaves, sometimes three of them. And on the toonie, polar bears.
Okay, well, then I do have... an interesting question, if that's the case.
Okay.
Like comedy, the word interesting is also subjective. I have a question. if all the others you just mentioned are quintessentially Canadian things, however, the Blue Nose is quite famously a Nova Scotian schooner, is it not?
Yes, so, I have an answer to this question, though. Nova Scotia... is within the boundaries of Canada. Now, this might come up on your citizenship test, so I believe I'm still helping in this case. It is a province of Canada, and therefore it was so famous that it was Canada-wide. Is it Terry Fox? Terry Fox is from, Oh my God, Alberta?
I don't know.
He's probably from Ontario. This is going to be on the Canadian. We're both going to fail the citizenship test here. Where's Terry Fox from? I think you're right. I think it's on.
He's not from. But again, he was quite famously a Canadian. But yeah. The Blue Nose quite famously and associated with Nova Scotia. And not only that, of course, you Nova Scotians are affectionately known as, are you not, Blue Noses? One of the many things you've known as.
Yeah.
So therefore, it is a very, very Nova Scotian icon.
But we raced against the Americans. The Blue Nose raced and won all up and down the Atlantic coast, raced against New York boats, and you know, Baltimore, all the big famous East Coast boats. So it represented Canada.
I see.
We were the East Coast. Terry Fox was from Manitoba, so my vague first guess was right, despite the fact that as soon as you said Ontario, I immediately questioned my own knowledge and thought, oh yeah, well, it must be Ontario, everyone's from Ontario.
I guess.
The Blue Nose legacy from Saltbox Brewing Company, Saltbox out of Mahone Bay, where are they?
Yeah.
Hey, I'm right, Mahone Bay, good. See, I know a few things. Blah, blah, blah. It's got all the story of the Blue Nose there. But on the website, it does give a little bit more information about the beer. So, a light, crisp, and most importantly, refreshing beer, the Blue Nose commemorative ale was brewed using Canadian malt, noble hops, and the desire to create something that would honor the legacy that is the fabled fishing schooner herself, the Blue Nose. Best known for her adventures during the golden age of sail, here at Saltbox, we like to think we've entered a golden age of ale. On the palate, you'll experience a distinctive aroma of malty sweetness with a smooth, clean finish that will leave you dreaming of the high seas sip after sip after sip. I'm mostly looking forward to this, based on that description.
I'm going to get seasick if I read any more. But what happened to the Blue... Is the Blue Nose 2 the one that they're sailing around in these days? Is it like just a copy of it, or what is it? What is that thing? I've seen that somewhere.
Oh my goodness, somewhere. You're asking me all these questions. I've been on the Blue Nose 2.
You've been on it?
Oh, I've stood on it a couple of times, yeah. Let's see. History. In 1963... Okay, the original Blue Nose was launched in 1921 in Lunenburg. The captain sailed at blah 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 Stockholm Trophy, blah blah blah, represented Canada around the world. So it was the Canadian ship, but it just happened to be from Nova Scotia. Appeared in the country with a majestic... It's been on the dime since 1937. Blue Nose struck a reef... January 1946. Despite the loss, it lived on in 1963. So another 17 years later, the Blue Nose 2 was launched. It was built by many of the same people who had worked on the original vessel. 63 from 21. Yeah, 40 years later. Okay. While also promoting the blah, 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 Blue Nose 2 was gifted to the government of Nova Scotia in 1971. It continues to serve as Nova Scotia's sailing ambassador, an enduring symbol of the province living history under sail.
So, thank you. That was all good info, and now I know that. So if they ask me that on trivia on a Thursday, it's in the bag.
I'm trying to help you pass a citizenship test. I don't care about your trivia team. Okay, what is your trivia team name? Here's the big question.
Oh, that depends on who I'm with and how we're feeling at the time. You're sniffing your ale with a funny look on your face.
Well, this comes down to what is a pale ale. If something just says pale ale, what are you expecting? And my mind is usually, I'm expecting a lager that just smells like it's got a bit more body to it. And as soon as I cracked this and sniffed it, I said, this smells like a lager that's got a little bit of personality to it. It's got a little bit of body going on. So I'm pretty excited. Oh, that's pale. I don't know why I thought sweet malty in the description was going to result in maybe an amber cooler.
Mine is mixing very nicely with the dust that was gathered on top of the can. So I have a nice dusty looking pale ale now, like it's got croutons floating in the top.
We've discussed washing the cans off before we crack them before. And I'm
wondering, we did.
Are we spoiling our own flavor sometimes when we crack one open? We say, oh, gross, this one tastes like spider's eggs and sandpaper.
No, I think it adds to the general body and flavor profile if you've got a little bit of crap hanging around.
I can definitely agree to that. Yep, that's fine.
It's a nice head on it. It looks looks a bit like a German Pilsner in its look.
Really?
Is another way. or a Czech or a Czech Budvar or something like that is what it looks like. It does not smell dissimilar.
It's so golden. Look at that. It's just a beautiful jaune to it. I expect Pilsners are often a bit more weak in color. They're a bit more sort of straw, flax, and whatnot. But this is...
Yeah, they are.
That is gorgeous, that is. No sea monkeys, no haze whatsoever.
Yeah, that's really nice.
Queen of the North. To Captain Angus Walters, he says. 10 cents. 10 cents of your finest bubbly, please, barman.
Is yours at your cool room temperature, or did you just chill it down a little?
Brought it out of the cool room earlier today, so it's been out at sort of a, you know, coolish room. It hasn't been out in the sun, but it's certainly not frosty. I'll tell you that. I'll be getting all of the flavors out of this one.
Yeah.
How's that?
Yes, I am. I'm looking forward to this.
It smells beautiful.
Smells? It does.
Mm-hmm.
Smells actually a little malty than I was expecting.
Well, given the description, that's kind of what I'm expecting out of this.
Okay, cheers.
Cheers.
It does have that bite. Yeah, there's stuff going on there.
Yeah.
Like, you know, yeah. When you get a generic pale ale with not much, it's like a bit boring. But this has got an Eastern Europe. This does have a European flavor to it.
The European bite, what I call the Heineken snip.
Right.
But the golden, delicious, the malty lager flavor, my favorite flavor, the Toller Gold up front, it's got that, but it's so weak. It's weak. It's not there. It's way, way, way at the back. And is that just the fact that it's a 4.7% and it's not strong, so it's got to be weak? But I don't think so. I think they could squeeze some flavor into this. It's just...
Oh, you think it's a bit bland? Little, okay.
I want a little bit more of that. I like the flavor. I just like to have a little bit more of it. It tastes slightly watery until you get that European bite that we talked about.
I do get what you're saying there. I think I took quite a healthy gulp on that. You can see there's certainly a third of it gone already. That was what that was doing. Some of you've gone halfway. What that was doing, Russ, was kind of slaking my thirst.
Mm.
This tastes to me a little dangerously sessionable.
Well, 4.7, you know, it's not a 5.0. So, is it a lawn mowing beer for sure? This would quench your thirst.
Big time. I think that sitting out on a patio in the warm sunshine, this would not be difficult to drown three or four of these in double quick time for me personally. It's not laden with flavor. And like you say, it's not particularly strong. 4.7 is not weak. We've been through this a ton of times. 4.7 for me is a fairly generously alcohol. I know. It's perfectly quaffable to me without like outstanding. I'm like drinking it going, oh, this is amazing. This is a pretty solid pale ale.
Yeah, and sometimes when they do commemorative stuff and, oh, quick, we have to do something for the anniversary, sometimes they come out, they're never my favorites, but this is fine. This is all right.
They go, the commemorative stuff can be very hit or miss, can't it? Because they can try adding some stuff that they don't normally do or just making it so it's more memorable. This is, I would say, a pretty good... No, I don't think it's bland necessarily. If you want a little bit more flavor to it, a little bit more bite, a little bit more profile, fine. But to me, this is a really good mid to high level pale ale that I've tried in Nova Scotia. I like it.
I agree. It's a light, crisp, and refreshing beer. Honestly, yeah, all those things kind of say that it's not going to bowl you over with flavor and everything. And then I guess my mistake was it says on the palate, a distinctive aroma of malty sweetness. And it doesn't say it's going to taste of malty sweetness. And it smells so good. I love the smell of it. And I wish that smell was in the taste, but it does not promise that the taste is going to reflect the smell. It'll have a smooth, clean finish. Ooh, it'll just wash right through you like tap water. But
I think it's really nice. That's such a crappy word, nice. Isn't it? It's like, what did you think of that? It's nice.
Yeah.
Nice is
fine.
What was it that Kevin Costner once. Madonna, he met Madonna. it was either for him. No, it was
You're not going to tell me that Kevin Costner once referred to Madonna as nice.
No, it was worse. It was worse than nice. What did you think of Madonna, I think was the question. And he said she was neat. She was real neat. And then the interviewer afterwards said, I hear that Kevin Costner has recently referred to you as neat. That did not go well. Well with Madonna.
Whoops.
Yeah, she doesn't want to be neat, I wouldn't have thought. She wanted to be quite something quite different. But neat is a real boring adjective, and so is nice. Do I like this? Yeah, I really do. I think it's nice and neat and everything all around it without being extraordinary. So, it's perfectly quaffable, and I like it.
Let me clarify this. You don't think it's boring, but you want to only use boring adjectives to describe it.
I got
you there.
You got me. It's unremarkable, but a pretty decent session ale, especially as, what was the weather like today? Summer feels like it's here. It's getting towards mid-spring now, and the warmer weather is finally arrived. 20 to 25 degrees this week, by all accounts. This, to me, mate, would be the perfect ale. There's better out there, but a really good ale to sit outside and drink two or three of in sunshine. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. Without falling over.
Yep. Fully agree. It's
still available.
It is not.
Even though
it's written, it does say it's sold out on the Saltbox store. So I'm not sure. Even if I check my, I don't think it was even on the list behind me. There's none on the Run Cream Ale. We've had that. I don't think we've had the Holy Mackerel. We've had the Dynamite Hefeweizen. We've had the Jesus Murphy Irish Red. We've had many other salt boxes up there. Can't quite tell what's all on the thing behind me. But I
think, Ross, that this is still available. I'm pretty sure I've seen this fairly recently in a liquor store, in NSLC. It was either on sale in there or it was on the... on the regular shelf. I'm pretty sure I've seen one of these recently, at least a few.
It's a delightfully distinctive can, because sometimes when you see a new brewery starting out, they have the fully aluminum, like just silver, no flash, no nothing on it, the aluminum silver can, and it's just got a white sticker down the side. But what I love what they've done here is they've kept the aluminum can, and they've just put the Blue Nose decal on there, and then Blue Nose 100, so behind everything is this reflective silver, this beautiful shiny side of the can. And there's something about that where even though the what's a centennial anniversary, because silver is, well, if you go by marriages, it's silver's 10 25
silver is 25.
Okay. Diamond
is gold is 50, diamond is 60. I believe yeah,
so
I believe so.
So 100 must be aluminum then, and that's why they did that.
Look at me, yes. What does that say?
Same thing as mine does. Look at that. This has never happened for sure. We've never both been on brand with the correct glass and everything. Both with the Saltbox glasses. Well done.
What's this on the rear then, Ross? What's King Street? What's that referring to?
So, Saltbox has two tap rooms. One in Bridgewater is called the King Street. They just call it the King Street Beer Company, despite the fact that they sell Saltbox. And then there's Lightship out of Lunenburg. And I'm still fuzzy. They're only open in the summertime. And I think they brew a few things on their own, but they also serve Saltbox. So it's sort of this weird subsidiary thing. Eventually, when people start returning my emails and Saltbox get back to me, we can ask them all of these very important questions, obviously. But we don't have a representative Saltbox here with us tonight, sadly. It's not happening.
That's okay. Your glass then has that little light thingy on it. And what does it say? Light what? Light?
Lightship.
I can't remember. Right, and mine doesn't.
No, they had many different versions of these of these pint glasses. So the Saltbox on one side, and then the Lightship, the King Street, or just the King Street on the other side. I think it all kind of depends on where you buy it. Because when I went into the King Street location in Bridgewater, one, I was very confused that I was just in a salt box tap room and I was trying to buy a glass. And I said, can I get a, like, which glass do I get? Do I get a glass with everything represented or do I just get a salt box one? I didn't want one for each of them unless each of them was actually brewing. I think it's going to require a little bit more research.
I like pale ales so much more than I like regular lagers. I can see your face. As a rule, yes. There are obvious exceptions. If you count Tola Gold as a lagered ale, I forget what it is. There are obviously exceptions, but as a general rule, I prefer pale ales to bog standard lagers. I find them slightly maltier, less gassy, they just taste better to me than regular lagers, which I tend to find quite bland. Plus, I can drink these a little warmer as well, because lagers, they tend to be just fairly drab, ice-cold stuff that 18-year-old boys want to throw down their necks and be loutish with, as a stereotype. This one's goody. This one's a goody. I like this a lot.
I like it just fine. I think it's perfectly fine, and so therefore, I think I have to, it's fine, it's... I like it more than other pale ales because sometimes pale ales do that thing where they're sort of, well, we're mostly flavored like an India pale ale, and it comes through like a smash, and it's far too hoppy and just wrong. Yeah. This is a very nice balance. This is a well-made beer. Yeah. It's quite good. It's exactly as it's described, and it's commemorating the Blue Nose. So despite the fact that it's not my favorite beer ever, based on what they're telling you it's going to be and what it does and how accurate it is to that, I think I have to give it fairly good marks for just...
It does exactly what it says on the tin.
Mm-hmm.
I want another one. As well as another one right next door.
There is hopefully another one. I am a little... I'm curious about this one too, and I'm hoping that this one has a bit more of a... And that's the thing. The lack of flavor in the salt box one, where I read that this next one, I think it's supposed to be hazy. And I'm like, you know what? After drinking that Saltbox one, I think I could go for a citrusy, hazy beer right now. Like that, the Saltbox made me thirsty for a citrusy, hazy, summery beer.
Okay. I'm giving it solid 7.8 out of 10 in a traditional scoring stakes. Mm-hmm. It's not remarkable, but it's really rather good. Really rather good. That's my bland review.
Session-ish, light-ish on the side of things. And easy to get down.
Yep. Totally easy to get down.
Very well made to remain inoffensive.
Without being particularly interesting as well. So you're not going to say, God, do you remember that amazing beer we had from a salt box at that commemorative? You'd say, yeah, it was actually pretty good, but nothing remarkable.
That's my 9 to 10, where it's memorable. And you're like, somewhere in the 9 to 10 range, oh, that one, I got to tell everybody about this. So this is just, it's an accurate description. It's an 8.8 for me. I'll say that. Top marks for what it is, but I'm not going to recommend it to my friend. I can't. Well, it's sold out, so that's, if it wasn't sold out, I would recommend it to my friends. I would still tell people, which we do. Oh, you should have had this one. It's not available anymore, but you should have been there.
As a caveat to that, I'm pretty sure, unless I'm very much mistaken, like I said, that song I heard a little while ago, thinking it was only released like a little while ago, apparently came out 30 years ago. It may be the same when I thought I saw the Blue Nose 100 in the NSLC fairly recently. Maybe it was like 3 years ago now.
That's true.
Time is flying by.
Speaking of time flying by, did you know that the Garrison Brewing Company has been in business for at least 25 years. Because here is our next one, the Garrison 25th Anniversary Pale Ale, which one of us picked up at the LC one weekend when we were feeling good, and we never got around to drinking it. Because it does say on the side here, Garrison Brewing Company, 1997 to 2002. So this anniversary was 2 years ago.
2022.
What'd I say?
2002.
Oh, yeah, 22. Sorry. There's too many twos and not enough zeros. Yes. It's got a bunch of writing. It's got the big fancy, it's this lovely blue shiny can, and then the lovely gold lettering on there, the big huge 25. So it's you know, Gareth's gonna be turning 27 this coming perfect year. But over here, not on the Garrison website, because they don't have this beer up there on their website at all. You have to go searching through the old Wayback Machine, and you find Garrison written of the 25th anniversary pale ale of a 5.5% alcohol by volume. Our 25th anniversary ale is a celebration, a limited release hazy pale ale that speaks to independence, creativity, and community. How do you make a beer taste like community? Mm. We're proud of the hundreds of beers we've brewed over the years in Halifax, but there will only be one 25th anniversary ale. Hazy with thick white head, this medium-bodied ale has notes of malt, honeydew melon, and light pineapple with a soft, bitter finish.
Sounds suspiciously like an IPA. Fruity IPA. Citrusy.
Citrus hazy. Hazy citrusy, but it does say malt and bitter finish. So I'm not... Again, after the salt box, I am craving something with a bit more... Oh my god. Did you smell... Oh dear. Oh...
This one is filthy. I'm going to have to... The other one was a bit dusty. This one here looks like a pig shat on
it. All right. So get out the wet wipes. Fine. Get out the wet wipes so you can open your beer properly. I gave mine a good dusting with my mouth air. What's that stuff called? Breath. I blew on the can quite a bit for quite some time. The...
There we go.
There is some citrus and some hops coming out of this can.
Okay. I hope I haven't shaken this up too much over the sink when I was trying to clean it off.
Oh, dear.
I'm going to find out in about 10 seconds. Yeah.
Okay. Here we go. The haziness is it's definitely not as clear as the Blue Nose ale.
It's slightly more straw-colored, too.
It is a little paler, isn't it? Pale and hazy. Yeah, look at that. It's got that,
Any more?
It's a little bit lightened up. So disappointed because the color of that salt box was just this golden.
No.
Beautiful.
It smells like an IPA, Ross. It smells like a fruity IPA. Hints of what?
Oh. Notes of malt, honeydew melon.
Honey!
Honeydew melon. Honeydew melon.
Okay.
One thing. And what is light pineapple, do you suppose? Light pineapple. Not like full body pineapple. One that isn't pineapple.
Heavy. Small one. It's not a heavy one.
We've cut this. Cut this one down. Mm. Oh.
Honeydew melon. Mm.
It's sweet, so the citrusy and the sweet. So I'm hoping to. Oh my god, there's so much head coming off of this. It's sticking to the can as I'm trying to pour the dang thing.
It smells 180 degrees opposite from the commemorative ale, which now smells like a boozy. The difference is it's
well. The other tangible. One smells like a lager. The other one smells. It smelled like a lager, and it kind of tasted a little bit like a weird, kind of off, not quite right lager. What did it say about this? The thick white head. I mean, yeah, that's sitting on top like ice cream. That's doing great.
Yeah.
Oh, you've got the good haze in there. I need to get my sea monkeys at the bottom of the can here. But the problem is they're not quite. It's not behaving. Ooze.
Do you have the Garrison Brewery behind you? I know you got Softbox at the moment. Do you have the Garrison one?
Oh, I need to. Whoops. Good catch. Here we go. Oh.
I want to be at the Garrison Brewery down there on...
Snip-snap. There is... There. Okay, we're there.
Lovely.
To the brewery. But I've got my Garrison Glass, which I'm fairly certain my wife found for me. Oh, here we go. That's where all the haze is. The haze was at the bottom of the can.
Look at all the solid stuff floating to the bottom. It's coming down like fallout after a nuke.
Yeah, you're watching it. It's landing like a mushroom cloud. That's outstanding. Yeah.
Awesome. Even the way the haze is moving around in the glass, you probably can't see it from where you are. On mine, yours is probably doing the same thing. It looks like one of those 1970s lava lamps. That's great. I'm looking forward to it. Isn't it funny how some people can't stand... they've got to have everything so filtered and clear and crisp and refreshing. And yet some other people, like you and me, say, bring me the haze. Bring me the bits floating in it. Bring me the yeast and it wasn't cleaned out.
I don't know why, because I'm a low to no pulp orange juice kind of guy. I'm not sure where you fall on that spectrum.
I love it all. In fact, I do. I probably, if someone put a gun to my, I don't know why they put a gun to my head over orange juice, but obviously, if it's not that serious,
orange juice gangsters. I get it.
Orange mobsters. I would probably err on the side of the pulpier stuff than the clean. I do love the other stuff. Don't get me wrong. I like all orange juice, but freshly squeezed orange juice with bits of pulp and the fibrous stuff still hanging around. I like that. I don't know why I should, because I don't generally like, you know. I'm not even going to go there. I'm not even going to go there where my mind was wandering there. I like the pulpier stuff, so I'm the opposite of you in that regard. But we do like the same beer.
Yep. Can I just say, this looks and smells a bit... Actually, no. This smells like a galaxy, like the Propeller Galaxy, but with a bit of honey to it. I'm smelling a honey, which is weird, because you kept finding the honey when I was saying honeydew melon. And you said, do you mean it's got honey in it? And I said, no, there's no honey in this. Sniff.
It's sweet.
Yeah, there's something sweet. In there.
It's slightly honeyish. Never mind honey.
I'm really looking forward to this for some reason, because the other one was just so bland. Ready? Shall we?
Give it a break. It's mean.
5.5%. You can give this a couple of gulps.
Yes.
Cheers.
Oh, I was about to say white IPA-ish, orange. Not only does it look like orange juice, it's got I was actually thinking it's got some orange peel in it. But that would be what? What did you say was in it? I'm going to ask again. Honeydew melon and what? Light pineapple. That's probably what I'm tasting.
Maybe a
for sure.
Little, but. And then it says a soft, bitter finish. But to be honest, it went straight to the soft, bitter finish. I feel like I'm running right to it. It's just this weird. The bitter is coming through the citrus. Am I crazy?
This is a really summery, strong ale. It's 5. What is it? 5.5. Yeah, that's strong. 5.5. Yeah. Yeah, that's plenty strong enough. It's very fruity. Tastes kind of tropical. Hazy as all hell. Look at it. It's completely opaque.
Delightfully hazy, but the flavor doesn't match. There's some weird... Something's happening in mine.
You're not digging this. Hopefully yours hasn't gone off. I think this is... tasty.
It doesn't taste off. It just tastes distant.
You know those any IPAs, hazy IPAs from, you know, North...
I shared some delicious hazy IPAs with Candace and Rob just the other week.
Yeah.
And they were better than this.
Well, I would say that normally those any IPAs, the hazy IPAs, I don't get on with. This looks like an any IPA, and it doesn't have the the hoppy stuff that turns me off going on. It's plenty flavorsome, fruity, quite sweet with a nice tanginess, a citrusy side to it. Yes, it does have a bit of hoppiness going on, but nothing like enough to make me go, I don't want that. So it's like a more palatable NE IPA to me, and that's a good thing.
I can sense the tang. I can sense the citrus. I can sense. I'm happy to not have the hoppy. That's fine. But I was really looking forward to the sweet. And I feel like I'm still not getting enough. Are my taste buds muted tonight? Did I eat something? I didn't burn off my taste buds last night.
I smell more sweetness, slightly more honey in it than I do tasting it. It's the citrusy tang that comes through 100% when I'm drinking it.
Again,
but it smells.
I want to taste what I'm smelling.
not always the case.
No, because it.
but with beer.
With beer, I want to taste what I'm smelling. I live in the valley. I don't want to taste what I'm smelling. You drive out and it's manure fields, and then you go along to New Minas and it's just full of open septic tank. And that's just, no, those are not the lunch specials. They should be, but they're not.
With drink, food and drink, you want to taste what you're smelling. I understand.
It skips, for me, the gulp of it, it skips the sweet, or it's just barely there. And sort of this watered down, sweetened, hazy, juicy IPA, like so watered down. It's not, it's not punching your face off with hops and citrus, but I kind of wanted that. So they both are lackluster in flavor. I was like, oh, that one wasn't very flavorful. I hope this next one is. And it kind of went, I'm going to sit at the back of the room here and just have some flavors. That's all right with you. I'm just going to sit over there, not get in anyone's way. I'll just be over here playing some muting volley tunes.
This is full of flavor. Ross is not so much in that. I don't know whether yours, because it is 2 years old, maybe yours smell. Rebecca just said it smells like maybe, but it doesn't have the hoppiness.
It does not taste like one.
Turn your face inside out like an IPA does. It's like a fruity
pale
ale with slightly tanginess to it, like a.
I can see what both of you mean.
You can see what both of us mean. That's very political. Who are you running?
No, it's because she's intelligent. This should be Rebecca's show. Honestly, she could come on and do this whole thing in about 5 minutes and say the exact same things that we say in the span of an hour. Just knock it all out of there. Yeah, boom, 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 boom. Here's all the considerations and done. There we go. Beer business. Just the facts, ma'am, with Rebecca. this is our just the facts, ma'am, corner.
Is there such a thing, correct me if I'm wrong, the look of it now, is there something called an ice cream IPA or a cream IPA?
No.
Am I imagining?
There's the lactose... stouts, the milk stouts, but
no, this is specifically an IPA, a cream IPA, an ice cream IPA, or a float ice cream IPA, or something. You're to the interneting.
I am good because I'm the only oats and cream IPA, coming out of the seaboard of the United States. What is an oat cream? IPA refers to the addition of extra oats and lactose. An oat cream IPA, a silky smooth full body. That sounds freaking delicious. An oat cream. Oh, we got to find out more about the oat milkshake and oat cream IPA.
That's it.
Hello.
It's not ice cream. Milkshake IPA. It's a milkshake IPA. That's what we're talking about. That was mentioned to me fairly recently.
Okay.
From someone.
Stop the presses. Okay. I think it might be a Quebec page, but it's in French. So I need to translate the "Vous devez avoir l'âge légal pour consommer de l'alcool." You need to be of legal age to consume alcohol. That's what I get that one. Si ne c'est pas le ça, quittez le site. If this is not so, leave our, you know, get out of our website. And then
yeah, I got it.
The button on the left says "Je suis majeur," and the second one says "Quittez le site." Quitte is quit. Je suis majeur. Je suis, I know to be I am, and majeur, I know to be majority. So I am majority. Go.
You are old. You are old, officially old enough to go into the Quebec. Although you only need to be 18, is it not, in Quebec to access that site?
Also correct. Address 117. Sorry. 117 rue Saint-Pierre, numéro 107, Saint-Constant, Québec, GIF 5A0M3 is the postal code.
Wow, you are the most bilingual Scotsman I've ever heard.
I am absolutely phoning this in. This is going so well because it's very, very easy for me to do.
Now, and I mentioned milk IPAs, because that's what I was getting at. Not ice cream, but milkshake IPAs.
Milkshake and oat cream IPA. Lactan, oat cream IPA, there we go. The Opichi, the Brave Margot, whatever that is. The Cyclotron, what are these? These are fascinating. And where the hell...
It sounds like we're up there.
Where's Saint Constant?
We're about to go on a ride. Actually, Ross, I think... Oh my goodness, we were in the Tide and Bore only recently, of course, in New Brunswick. I wonder if that's where I'd heard the term a milkshake IPA.
You did maybe it was definitely the say it to me. I have heard this.
Right.
So
right. Anyway, my point being, guess what this kind of looks like it should be? Hazy milkshake, creamy IPA, but without the hoppy profile that you associate with an IPA. It's a fruitier, creamier, hazier IPA, in keeping with the look of an NE IPA or, a milkshake IPA. And I like it. But you don't. It's a shame.
I fully agree that it looks amazing. But I'm not getting the fullness of the look and the smell in the flavor. I feel like I'm being let down on the flavor. And I'm sorry, because I'm totally romanticized by looking up things on the internet and every other brewery in... Well, where's this? Okay, sorry. This one's in Australia. So it's slightly less local, being on the other half of the planet. They're making... this thing called the One Fell Scoop Ice Cream IPA. But they do describe it as an oat cream IPA. So they call it an ice cream IPA, but that just means that it's an oat cream. So it's oat and lactose IPA creation. And the closest thing that I can find is one out of Saint-Constant, which is to the south end of Montreal. And in fact, quite a ways outside of where we were staying when we went to Montreal last summer for my daughter's kayak nationals, which took place on Île Notre-Dame out of Montreal. Sorry, I'm practicing my accent. I'm trying to get to level 2 on Duolingo to try to brush up on my French. Because the last time when we went to Quebec City and I tried to pretend that I knew French from school, I did not. Anyway,
you were found wanting.
Yeah. The romanticization of all of this ice cream IPA is getting me very excited, and it's making me think that this ice cream looking IPA is good, but it's not. It's just a pale ale that
I can't believe that. This is so tasty and so tangy and fruity and hazy and thick and relatively strong. Rebecca said it's refreshing. I think it's a little too creamy for me to be refreshing. I want something a bit crisper to be refreshing. This is so creamy and hazy, but it's so full of flavor. And without again doing what IPAs traditionally do to me, which is make me go "Ugh!" and make someone crawl over my grave.
Yeah, but all I'm getting is that bitter at the end. It is hollow. I get a tiny little taste of sweet, of the juiciness and the citrus at the beginning, and then this huge vacant emptiness in the middle of the body of the beer, and then finally this little end. I'm kind of bitter on the back end, where I'm absolutely stretching my imagination to say, if this was flavorful, I would love this back end bitter. I would love the bitter on the back end of this beer so much more if there was some freaking flavor to help me land on the landing pad. It's like arriving at an airport by foot. You're just sort of, you just run down there, and ta-da, I'm there. And they say, go pick up your luggage at gate 19. And you didn't even get to come in on the cool airplane.
It's really sad. I feel for you, mate, because I'm at the other end of the spectrum and I'm wowing this. But of course, it's 2 years out of date and they're not doing it anymore. So.
But neither of them, and to their credit, Saltbox Garrison, neither of these taste off. They don't taste off.
No.
It's just, it's lacking. For me, body. The middle body of both beers is just kind of, it's gone away. And if that's the worst thing that happens to your craft beer in 2 to 3 years of sitting in my closet, well done. Well done.
I held these both up in Methuen. Look at the difference of them. They are...
Well...
Oh, yeah.
One
is clear and filtered, and the other one quite clearly ain't. They are both pale ales, but there's a world of difference between these two pale ales. It's like comparing oranges with apples in this respect.
And I feel like that's the thing that happens when you make a commemorative, some sort of, hey, it's our anniversary thing, so we're just going to smash a bunch of stuff in there. And I'm like, what happened to the beer? Yeah. Well, I don't know. It kind of went this way and it kind of went that way. It kind of came out hazy. And should we just call it a pale ale? Yeah, it's just a pale ale. Pale ale. There. Boom. Smash. Label it. Stamp it. Go. And it's... it seems like the best thing to do when you're just making a anniversary-ish commemorative ale thing. It's a pale ale, but it's a whole lot more like this. It's a catch-all category that nearly includes many others.
The salt box, like I gave it a hearty 7.8 because I thought it, like I said, it wasn't extraordinary, but it was a perfectly sessionable, not too strong ale, which I could drink plenty of. I don't think I could say the same of the 25. I couldn't drink much of that because I'd probably end up feeling a bit sick too soon because I find it so. No, Rebecca hasn't tried that one. She's about to try the salt box. It's thick. It's not the sort of thing I want too much of. And yet I think it's a far more distinctive, flavoursome ale. The other one is, you called it bland.
It's boring.
Okay, she just said it's boring. And that's because up against the 25, the full of flavour 25th anniversary pale ale, It's got so much going on. But the other one, I would say, is a session ale. I can't compare them because they're both got their own uses. There would be a time where I would prefer one over the other.
But am I crazy that the Garrison? Am I tasting something completely different from your can? Because mine tastes hollow in the middle. It's got no body down the middle. Is Rebecca also saying that it's this flavor pop zing wowie?
It's not. I think we've established that she's got a more distinctive. Whatever. My dad, Ross. Are you still there?
Yes.
You are still there because your picture stopped for far too long. It was my wife. It's my internet connection. That's what it is.
I'm just wondering where we're going with this conversation.
If I had offered him the 25th anniversary pale ale, my dad, who's 81 coming up soon, and he's been drinking beer since before you and I Before, you know, like Triceratops was walking the earth when my dad had first tried a beer, and he knows his stuff. He would say the second one doesn't even taste like a beer because it's so citrusy and fruity and hazy, and he would be like, I don't know what this is. On the other hand, my brother, who's just in his 50s, he's 52, he'd say he loves it. He would love this because it's more in keeping with the an IPA, a full-bodied, hazy IPA. The first one, though, to me, tastes more like a beer.
Yeah.
That's the thing. It tastes more like, quote, beer than the second one does. But and they both have their place in the market. And in my and on my palate, they both have their place, but different occasions I would prefer one or the other. And I can't, and I think it would depend. You mentioned mowing your lawn. I'm not going to want this Garrison 25th anniversary pale ale, three cans of this while I'm mowing my acre of lawn.
It's too thick. You're right.
Yeah. But I would like it just as a one-off, maybe, after a game of golf. Just a one can.
Really?
Whereas the other one, I could sit there quite happily and have three or four of them.
Really hot, knowing sunny day on the patio, I think, is the Garrison one. That's where the hazy, juicy ones come in for me.
Okay. If it's cold enough, Rebecca said.
Yeah.
And I, on this occasion, I would agree. There are certain beers that I like a little colder. I think both of these would fall into that category. I would prefer these to be a little colder than they were, especially the hazier one from Garrison. That's because it almost tastes like a fruit punch to me, an alcoholic fruit punch. So I want it to be colder.
I wanted it to be a bit more like that. It's just now the body's kind of missing. All right, I'm heading back to the salt box really quick. I'm finally getting a little bit of hazy juiciness at the bottom, and like there is a thimble left of that, but I'll splash the salt box back in again.
Ooh. Okay, while you're doing that, I'm going to mark the pale ale, the anniversary, 25th anniversary, which was 2 years out of date. It's going to be another 3 years before they do another anniversary one. And Garrison ain't going anywhere soon because them and Propeller are big boys. They know what they're doing. They've been doing this way too long. Oh, on that note, though, talking of those kind of fruitier, summery kind of pale ales and Propeller, I know they're not Garrison, but this would come directly up against their offerings. Propeller are doing such a range of summery,
fruitier
offerings.
They have for a couple of years now. They've had that tiny can of the Azaka, some sort of IPA, and they've got another few on. I was reading the Atlantic Canada Beer blog just the other day.
Yeah, an orangey one that really does appeal to me. I've got to try go up against this. This is I love this, Ross.
Really?
This is better for me. It's more distinctive. I'm going to give it a solid 8.5. It's fabulous, although I don't want to drink too much of it. And I might have to say that the 7.8, I could drink more of.
Mine was missing so much of the middle, so much of the body. I am trying to give it I think for me and for what this is and for what's going on, it's a 7.2 to me.
Yeah, 7.2. Not even a 7.3.
I wanted more fruit. I'm getting a tiny little tap and then empty middle. And it's all it said. It said medium bodied. Medium bodied. And the medium is where I want the body.
Okay.
I'm a sucker for a curvy psychic.
I'm going back to the salt box just because I'm going to taste some beer.
I got news for you. In going from the Garrison back to the salt box, which I just did, the salt box mostly just tasted like beer flavored tap water.
So, all right then. I'm going to do that right now. Hang on.
Yeah. And it's just kind of a. There you go.
No, it's more beery. It's like a beer. And to finish off.
It's beerish, that's true.
Again, some more.
All right.
I like them both. I love them both. See you next week. I'm out of here.
Boy, we've not disagreed that much about two beers, and it's been quite some time. We flip and flop. This show evolves. That's the evolution as it's going on. I want to thank Ian for being here, as per usual. Rebecca for giving her opinions as well. One of these weeks we'll get a proper three-person show on here, but I think she wasn't here at the beginning because she didn't want to be embarrassed about the fact that she has not introduced Ian to all of the icons that are on Canadian coins. That's obviously the whole reason. We are here every Tuesday night, 8 to 9 p.m. on our YouTube page, youtube.com/@drinknsdry. You can find our podcast in podcasty places everywhere other than, what's the one that gave up? Google Podcasts has given up the ghost, and so it's all over on YouTube or something like that. I don't know, but we're in most of the places. And we are also available if you want to go to the raw feed at drinkns.unsupervised.beer is where our podcast is hosted by one good James, who is a friend of mine who does that. So join us again next week. We'll be talking about some more beers. Week number, according to this thing over here, 166. See you next week. Have a good night.